Championship. Mo was pretty disappointed with all that. What was your kind of...
Yeah, look, any time you lose a game, you're always disappointed. Coming off a game last week where we lost the game for 3 days and couldn't get the job done, there was frustration there, but there was a heightened level of frustration, I guess, with our overall performance, particularly with the bat in the early stages with against the new ball. That sort of set the scene for the match. I thought our bowlers were pretty wholehearted across the course of the whole game, and in particular, yesterday, our three test players, you know, in trying to realign the shape of the game, they really stood up and showed that they're in good form and ready for whatever comes for them, for the country. So, yeah, disappointing result. You know, Victoria being tremendously competitive against us over the last few seasons, and we were hoping to make some strides back into a style of cricket that would meet them head on, and we weren't up to it for this game. But so it's back to the drawing board. Still plenty of positivity and optimism around our group. There's some nice emerging players there, and we've got quite a number of injured players sitting back home. So we'll be up for the next challenge. But yeah, this one hurts.
Just listen. You go.
Just listen to some of the players talking about facing Mitchell Starc. Straight on
song,
is he getting better?
Oh, look, his pace, his rhythm, all of those things that go to, you know, engineering the sort of pace he was dealing with. He did change the game once he decided to go short and really sort of change the dynamic of the match. And second innings again, we thought, you know, perhaps he'd done enough, but he kept coming, and so that's a good sign for Australia, and troubles ahead perhaps on the right wicket for India. So yeah, he prepares so well as well. I've been able, in a fortunate chair, to witness our Australian players, how they prepare and get ready for their matches, and it's thoroughly professional, and he's been bowling, you know, very, very well in the nets, or indeed in this game as well. So I'd imagine to get the same sort of response from Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood when we see them in the white ball team.
Should be Sean Abbott sort of slip straight back into the form that he was in, you know, last time he played for New South Wales in the red ball. Should he be in that sort of conversation with Scotty Bowen and Michael Neeson?
Oh, I'm sure you've just named the other three that are, you know, super contenders for, you know, the depth bowlers around the big three, so to speak. So Sean, we haven't seen him in blue for probably the last 14 games, so it was great to have him back in the side, and his spell in the first innings was terrific. So he's ready to roll, and like Neeza, provides, you know, something with the bat as well.
Did you see David Warner's comments about a potential Shield comeback, and if so, what did you make of them?
I just was made aware from Moses about a minute ago that there was something like that raised up, but I don't operate on social media, so
you're big on LinkedIn.
Sorry?
You're big on LinkedIn.
I love LinkedIn, but I'm not sure his story or whatever it was appeared on LinkedIn.
What did you make of Sam Cross's performance in this game?
I thought he was a bit stiff in the first innings. And in the second innings, I think he started to show actually everybody again what he's got. You know, he was really poised and balanced. And any time you get through the first 25 overs of a Victorian attack with a new ball, it shows you've got something. And, you know, but for, you know, a sad error in terms of judgment in that particular ball, I think he showed that he should be in a conversation at least.
How's he handling the added attention that's
coming? I asked him that this morning, but he's really relaxed and just, you know, focused on learning and focused on, you know, what his game is all about in terms of what is working and where the challenges may be. And he had a couple of them in this innings where, you know, he did a couple of strange things in terms of his choices, but he's reflecting on those as he is, and we're really confident that he's got the game, you know, if picked. So the rest of the next couple of matches for the Australian A team, I reckon, will tell the story in terms of what the Australian selectors will do.
You compare Ricky, obviously seeing Ricky the same age.
Yeah.
Ricky went 2.5 years between that twin centuries in a game for Tassie and then getting picked. How beneficial, looking back, or thinking back if you can remember, was waiting that time for Ricky as opposed to throwing a Sam in this early?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a very good question, though. And yes, he was made to wait. So whether that made him or he was already made anyway, because he was scoring multiple hundreds across the course of you know, that journey between him not being selected and then finally selected, I think, at around 21. But, you know, Sam, I do see a lot of, you know, that skill level and that sort of that poise at the crease, shots in on both sides of the wicket, in front of the wicket, behind the wicket. I think he's got what it takes. And, again, Ricky was trying to break into a super Australian side at that moment with probably no gaps, but there is a gap in the Australian team in the position he bats in at the moment. So he's worth being heavily in the conversation.
What did you make of Josh Phillippe's performance in this game?
Oh, outstanding for Josh. He's really, you know, coming to a new environment. Again, I'd seen his work ethic around the sixes, but didn't know whether that translated into, you know, the other formats of the game. And he's been a thorough professional behind the scenes, and 139, a good 50 in the first game, and back-to-back quality-looking innings, driving beautifully, played spin well, and took 9 catches for the game. So his keeping's on fire as well. In a new environment, I think that's a hell of a tick for a young cricketer.
Obviously got you know, Alex Carey's playing exceptionally well, and clearly...
And let's not forget Josh Inglis as well, who I think is probably a smoky in terms of the opening batting. I'd have Inglis and Constance in the conversation as 1-2, 2-1, and let the Australian selectors, you know, mull over those two. But as I said, performances in those Australian A games, I'm not sure whether Josh is in that team or not, but he probably doesn't need to be in that team. His performances for Australia have been first class, and I think they're looking for a style of player at the top of the order, and Inglis may fit that brief.
He can open the game.
Absolutely.
Right. What is it about?
I think if you think of the style, he's a right-handed version of David Warner in terms of someone who wants to get on with the play, and he's got, again, strokes all around the wicket, and he's played at the level internationally, and I think he's a well-respected player.
Shields,
still
one there, but next game of Cricket Central, last two sort of been draws there, been able to take the wickets on the final day. How do you sort of look to change your plans there to be able to?
I think we'll probably go back to 2 spin again. I think Tanvir Sanger's likely to come back into our group, and just hope that we don't find as such a resolute batters as McSweeney and Carey were on that particular day. They could have easily gone our way, but yeah, we'll have a plan for the wicket again that we're presented with.
You've got Hazelwood locked in?
Sorry?
For the Shield games, Hazelwood locked in?
Oh, look, it's a moving feast as well, but I'd like to think so.
Steve Smith will play on Friday?
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shippy.
Thanks, Dave.
Cheers, guys. Good. Thanks.